From WRKF 89.3 HD in Baton Rouge, this is Insight. I'm Amy Jeffries. The sciences are tough enough. For students of color, studying science, technology, engineering, or math can be particularly daunting. At LSU over the last decade and then some, Isaiah Warner has been leading efforts to help those students make it from high school all the way through graduate school, and it seems to be working. The graduation rate for African-American undergrads who've gotten scholarships and mentorship through a program called LaSTEM is 86%. By comparison, it was just 60% for the LSU campus overall among last spring's cohort. Warner is now Vice Chancellor of Strategic Initiatives and Boyd Professor of Analytical and Environmental Chemistry. As an African-American growing up in Bunkie, his enthusiasm for science was unusual, to say the least. Good to have you here, Dr. Warner.
It's good to be here.
As the story goes, you developed an interest in science and chemistry in particular at a very early age, with some experiments with kerosene at the age of two.
That's correct.
What happened?
Well, back in those days, electricity was very unstable. And so quite often, if you had an electrical storm, the lights would go out. And my parents would pull out this mysterious-looking liquid and with a wick in it, and they'd light it, and all of a sudden the room would light up without electricity. And so I, with my curiosity, decided to figure out what is this stuff they're using that lights up the room. They would put the kerosene away, but one day they forgot to lock the cabinet. And so I go into the cabinet, and the first thing I do is smell it. And as you know, kerosene has an awful smell. Well, what does it taste like? And I end up with a stay in the hospital after that time. But I learned later on that taste is not one of the things you test chemicals with.
How did you go from an interest in kerosene and maybe trying to see if you yourself could be a lamp to a more sophisticated understanding of chemistry and chemical processes?
I've always had an interest in math and science, and so I kept asking for a chemistry set. And finally, at the age of about 12, my parents bought me a chemistry set.
Did your family think it was strange that you wanted a chemistry set?
I think they thought it was very strange because I'm not only the first in my immediate family to get a college degree, I'm the first in my immediate family to get a high school diploma. And so science was not something that they were familiar with. Neither did I know any scientists.
How did you then figure out how to, you know, make your way through high school, make it into college, and have that whole, you know, what has become a very successful and prolonged academic career?
Well, you know, chemistry as a major was sort of, accidental. I was graduating valedictorian of my high school. The schools were still segregated then. Mm-hmm. So I graduated from Carver High School. And my English teacher asked me, said, you know, you're very bright and you could major in a lot of things. What are you going to major in? I had a full scholarship to Southern. And I said, I don't know, but it's going to be some area of science. She said, what about chemistry? I said, chemistry? Chemistry sounds fine to me.
You've become the vice chancellor at LSU. And of course, Southern is a historically black university and LSU is not. Can you describe from your perspective, what's the sort of the situation now for students and faculty of color around you at LSU?
When I first came into the chemistry department, there had never been more than three African Americans working on a PhD in chemistry at one time. I came in with 10 graduate students, half of whom were African-American. And so all of a sudden, in a program that never had more than three, we have 11 African-Americans working.
And how big was the program overall, just to get
overall, there were probably about 110 graduate students. So that represented a little bit over 10% of the population of graduate students. And those students had some very positive experiences, and so they started recruiting. And before we knew it, we were up to 30 African-Americans, and it's been consistently 30 for probably the last 10 or 15 years.
Why do you think that sort of critical mass, if you will, is important?
I think it's important because majority students take this for granted. you know, having a critical mass. I'll give you an example. My brother, who has a master's degree in mechanical engineering, did his graduate work at the Navy Postgraduate School in Monterey, California. And he called me up one day. He said, you know, I'm very frustrated. I said, what are you frustrated about? He says, in class discussion, I'm usually leading the discussion. But on the exam, at best, I'm in the middle of the class. Something's going on. And I said, well, I know exactly what's going on. They have a study group going on. And sure enough, he checked into it a couple of weeks later, called me and said, you're right. I don't think they intentionally excluded him. I guess they didn't think of inviting him because he wasn't part of their core group. And he didn't think of inviting himself because he didn't know what was going on. But majority students take that kind of studying together as a given. Minority students do not, particularly if you're only one in a class of 110. But when you get a group of 11, and you're right, it's a critical mass problem. Once you get a critical mass, those students become supportive of each other.
Isaiah Mourner, Vice Chancellor in the Office of Strategic Initiatives and Boyd Professor of Chemistry at LSU, thank you for sharing all this with me.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm Amy Jeffries. This is WRKF.